Until the whole thing happened, I never believed the old line about how you should be careful what you wish for because you might get it. I believe it now. All I did was make a couple of phone calls, impersonated the VP for corporate events, and called the fancy outside caterer that did all of Wyatt Telecom's parties. I told them to make it exactly like the bash they'd done the week before for the Top Salesman of the Year award. Of course, I had no idea how lavish that was. I gave them all the right disbursement numbers, authorized the transfer of funds in advance. The whole thing was surprisingly easy. The owner of Meals of Splendor told me he'd never done a function on a company loading dock, that it presented decor challenges, but I knew he wasn't going to turn away a big check from Wyatt Telecom. Somehow, I doubt Meals of Splendor had ever done a retirement party for an assistant foreman either. I think that's what really pissed Wyatt off. Paying for Jonesy's retirement party, a loading dock guy for Christ's sake, was a violation of the natural order. If instead I'd used the money as a down payment on a Ferrari 360 Modena a convertible, Nicholas Wyatt might have almost understood. He would have recognized my greed as evidence of our shared humanity, like a weakness for booze, or broads, as he called women. If I'd known how it would all end up, would I have done it all over again? Hell no. Still, I have to say, it was pretty cool. I was into the fact that Jonesy's party was being paid for out of a fund earmarked for, among other things, an off-site for the CEO and his senior vice presidents at the Guanahani Resort on the island of St. Barts. I also loved seeing the loading dock guys finally getting a taste of how the execs lived. The ice sculptures were a big hit. The Dom Perignon flowed, though not as fast as the Budweiser. This was after the big tech meltdown, of course, and companies everywhere were laying people off and instituting frugality policies, meaning you had to pay for the lousy coffee, and no more free Cokes in the break room, and like that. Jonesy was slated to just stop work one Friday, spend a few hours at HR signing forms, and go home for the rest of his life. No party, no nothing. Meanwhile, the Wyatt Telecom E staff was planning to head down to St. Bart's in their Learjets, boink their wives or girlfriends in their private villas, slather coconut oil on their love handles, and discuss company-wide frugality policies over obscene buffet breakfasts of papayas and hummingbird tongues. Jonesy and his friends didn't really question too closely who was paying for it all, but it did give me some kind of twisted secret pleasure. Until around 1:30 in the morning, when the sound of electric guitars and the screams of a couple of the younger guys, blotto out of their minds, must have attracted the curiosity of a security guard. A fairly new hire, the pay is lousy, turnover is unbelievable, who didn't know any of us and wasn't inclined to cut anyone any slack. He was a pudgy guy with a flushed sort of porky pig face, barely 30. He just gripped his walkie-talkie as if it were a Glock and said, "What the hell?" And my life, as I knew it, was over.